Well, like I said, it's D-Now weekend. I get the opportunity to preach God's word this morning, and I want to just share a little bit more about this weekend. Like I said, there was over around 110 high school students this weekend. We had 35 students here with us, it's just been an incredible weekend, and I got to go to each and every house this weekend just to talk to the students, interact with them, and just kind of get in their environment a little bit. You know, one of the houses I went to, we talked about what's our favorite music, and then like last night we were told not to listen to secular music, and it was kind of like, well, let's just forget that conversation then. I listen to Christian music only. So, but no, we got to talk about what's our favorite music, who we like, some of the others. We got to watch just random videos on TikTok and just enjoy those and laugh together. Another one, like I said, Courtney's house. There was just a lot going on. You got 16 teenage boys. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of smells. I'm telling you, my wife said it stunk, and I believe it. And she has a 5-year-old, and he stinks sometimes. And so her nose is very attuned to stink, and it stunk. And bless Courtney's heart and Augie's heart that they're going to have to just fumigate. But we got to go to another house with the senior high boys. We got to tell Chuck Norris jokes. Did you know that Chuck Norris counted to infinity twice? That's how awesome Chuck Norris is. If you don't know who Chuck Norris is, these boys can tell you all the Chuck Norris jokes you want to hear. So, so we got to just hang out and talk. But the most valuable thing to me wasn't just going and sitting with them. To me, the most valuable thing was sitting together worshiping Jesus. That's all that mattered to me. All the planning, all that, man, we had to have it, but we all come together to worship Jesus. That's the end goal. And not only are we to worship Jesus, but we want to grow closer to Jesus. We want to dive into to what he's doing. Because what I love about these students is that we have 35 students and they're all different. Just like us. We're all different. That's what makes this a body of believers. We don't have to be the same. We're given different gifts and talents to go and advance the kingdom. And we got students that have those gifts. We have students that have their own personalities, and we love our students, but we want to challenge them to go deeper in their faith, not to just remain where they're at, but to actually go deeper. Start really asking God, God, what it needs to change in me? God, I don't want to change who you are into my image, but God, I want to change me into you. I want to look like your son, Jesus. So that's the challenge this weekend. And one of the things that we talked about was idols. We looked at the story of Elijah and the Baal prophets when Elijah called fire down from heaven and consumed the offering. And then we talked about Daniel in the lion's den. I don't know if that's one of y'all's favorite stories. It's one of my favorite stories. It's just an incredible story of not only God's power, but it's an incredible story of what happens when you're obedient to God. That God favors you. God gives you blessings because you are being obedient. You're doing what he's called you to do. So he gives you the strength. He gives you the ability to do things. But my big takeaway for the entire weekend, idols want to trap you in death to render you ineffective to the kingdom, for the kingdom. That's what idols want to do. They don't want to keep you safe and happy. No, they'll mask that happiness, but in the end, their job is to destroy your testimony and render you ineffective for God's kingdom. You can't worship things and God. God doesn't share his worship with anyone. God wants to be worshiped alone. And when we're obedient and we're worshiping him, he gives us favor. The first night we talked about Elijah and the Baal prophets, and Saturday morning, me and Chloe, the youth pastor at Crossroads, got to share just a little bit about the recap and what's to come. I got stuck on Daniel 1:8. It's the story about Daniel. He's not eating or drinking what the king provides because it would defile Daniel. The Jewish people had strict eating laws. And that the food that the king would offer would violate those laws. Instead, we see in Daniel 1:8 that Daniel resolved. That word sticks out to me in an incredible way. I don't know why. I do know why, but just the language, resolved. Resolved. What's the word resolved mean? What does that mean? Well, the definition is to reach a firm decision about. That's what resolved means. Daniel had come to a decision. He was going to be firm on it. He wasn't going to waver. He was going to stand strong on what he believes and what his God has called him to do. Our challenge today, and what I want to ask, not just the students, but I want to ask you adults, what idol or idols are you resolving to lay down? What idol in your life has such a grip on you that you can't shake it? You're going to have to resolve in yourself, this idol offers me nothing. This idol is taking me away from God. This idol is causing so many issues that I can't do it no more. I'm resolving in myself to stop worshiping the idols, and I'm going to worship Jesus alone. That's what we resolve. That's what I'm asking the students. That's what I'm asking you. What idols in you have such a grip that you're going to have to say no more? I don't want that. I don't want what it's offering, because it's offering death. It's not offering freedom. It's offering bondage. And I don't want to live in bondage. I want to live in the freedom that God provides. So what idols are you going to resolve to lay down? What idols are you going to say, I don't want no more of it? And we got to ask him, what's some idols in your life? You know, of course, we hear social media is one of them. We hear video games is another. I wanted to take it deeper. What idol in your life may not be something like that? It may be a past sin that's just wrecking you, that you can't let go of. Or maybe it's something that happened in a relationship that caused great pain. We put those things up as idols in our lives because it's a good barrier for us not to feel those things anymore. But those idols will destroy us. Those idols will rip us apart. And in the end, we'll still be where we were in the beginning, useless, because idols render us useless. But what we learned is that we serve a God that not only demands our worship, but we serve a God that did what we couldn't do. We couldn't save ourselves. We couldn't get rid of those idols. Only God can. God removes the sin in our lives and replaces it with his grace. It replaces it with his redemption. It replaces it with his freedom. That's what God does. He doesn't hold those sins and those shames and those past things that we've built up as idols. He doesn't leave them in us. He takes them out and replaces it with his Spirit. I want to challenge, because Revelation tells us that God will spew or spit. If you don't understand that language, he will expel you from his mouth, meaning he does not play the game of you serving an idol and worshiping him. He doesn't do that. So you claim to be a Christian, but instead of worshiping God and surrendering your life to him, you just say it. We just talk about it. It's just language. Yeah, I'm a Christian. We live here in the South. Everybody's a Christian. Everybody. But have you been changed, though? Are you still the way you was before you met Jesus? The sad thing is, and the one that breaks my heart, and the one that I fear the most, is that we think we're believers, we think we're Christians, just because we may have attended a church, we attended a revival service, we attended youth group, just because we attended, we then equate our salvation to it. The sad thing is that if we believe that and we die, and when we die, God will look at us one day and say, I never knew you. That's a fear of mine. Students, you're hearing about Jesus all weekend, and it goes in one ear and out the other. And that fear that I have is that you're not hearing the gospel. You're not responding to the gospel. Church, that's my same fear for you. You're here Sundays and Wednesdays. You're here all the time serving, giving your time. But you've never bowed your knee and said, God, I surrender my all to you. Save me. See, we play this game. We let these idols dictate our faith. God wants full control. But you've got to resolve in yourself to follow him, to lay those idols down. If there is no conviction in you to reach people for the gospel, then has the gospel changed your life at all? That's a question. It's a hard question, but it's a question that needs to be asked. I'm not saying that you've got to be on a street corner with a megaphone preaching the gospel. That's not what I'm saying, but we should have a desire within us to tell people about Jesus. Why would I have a desire? Because he changed you. He just didn't just make you a better person or give you better morals. No, he radically transformed your life from death to life. We have to speak about that. We have to talk about that because it's a big deal. It's an eternal decision that affects us. And as believers, we got to be telling people about Jesus. And I'm not saying that you tell them one time and you're good, but that should be on our hearts and minds, and that should be a desire of ours to see our friends and neighbors and family members come to know Jesus. That should be a desire within us. And we should desire to tell people about that gospel. And I know, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not a great example of it. I often get my own way. I often give my own excuses. But what I am saying is, are you praying for that boldness to share it? Praying for that courage? Are you praying for that one person that needs to hear it? Because here's what I would say. If you pray for those things, you pray for the boldness to share the gospel, pray for the courage to share the gospel, you pray for that one person that needs to hear the gospel, God is going to give you what you need. We think we have to do it on our own. We can't save nobody. Take that pressure off of you. That's not on you. The pressure is for us to share the gospel. Either we plant seeds or we see a harvest. There's no other in between. We're planting seeds or we're seeing a harvest because that's what the gospel does. So today we're going to look at Colossians 1. And we're going to just hit 3 points of being resolved. So Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death, to present you wholly, faultless, blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded, steadfast in the faith, and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. This gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant to it. Being resolved in your salvation. Paul shares it. You were once alienated, separated, or hostile towards God. How are we hostile? We see that language and we think hostility. We think fighting. We think, a boxing match or somebody getting angry and wanting to fight one another. Nobody in here wants to fight God. That's not that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about us going and saying, God, I'm 1-2. No, that's not it. The hostility that we see is that our God is a just and holy God. He hates sin, doesn't dislike it. He hates it. And he takes it seriously. He takes sin so seriously that his son had to die for our sins. Somebody had to pay for the price of our sins. He takes sin seriously. And we were created in his image to be sinless. But Adam and Eve kind of messed it up for us. We kind of living from their mistakes. So because of that, we sin, we have a debt towards him. And one day we will have to answer for our rebellion against him. We choose to sin. We choose to rebel against God. And we will either experience his grace or we will experience his wrath. Church, there's no in between. There's no in between. So we see hostility and we have decided to sin against a holy God that hates sin. But here's what I love, but God. Rich in mercy and grace. Not just has a little bit of it, but rich, meaning an abundance of mercy and grace. He said, you know what? You can't do it. You can't do it. You tried and you failed. I failed this morning. We've all failed this morning. We've all sinned this morning. We can't do it. We can't pay for that debt. We can't pay what we owe God. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his son. And I love the word propitiation for our sins. It's a huge word, but he paid the debt for us. That's how much your God loves you. And we often wonder, God, do you love me? God, where are you at? God, I just want to experience your presence. Your God loves you so much, he never leaves you. He lives inside of you. Your God loves you so much that he walked the life that we walk and he paid the debt that we owe. Man, we serve a good God. We serve a God that doesn't hold those past sins over us. But what does the Bible say? He throws them as far as the east is from the west. He forgets our sins. But we're living in the shame of our past decisions because we've let that idol dictate that. Yeah, we're walking in the freedom from the consequences of sin, but man, we're not walking in the freedom that God offers daily because we're so consumed with that shame. And church, I get it. Oh, church, I get it. I got so much of my past that I just think about constantly. And that shame will fall over me. And I have to remind myself that has no power over me because it's been forgiven. The cross has said it's no more. So live in the freedom that he's offering you. We are reconciled to him. We are brought back. We are together again. So when we face God, he won't see a rebellious, hostile sinner. Instead, he will see you as holy, faultless, and blameless. Because that's what Paul says. That's what the gospel does. It makes you holy. Makes you faultless, and it makes you blameless. Stop letting the shame and the sin consume you. If God doesn't see a failure, why are we listening to it? Why are we giving it even a second of our time? Be resolved in your salvation. It's not the shame that lingers over you, but it's that freedom and that grace and that forgiveness that God has given to you through salvation. So be resolved in it. Don't let the shame consume you. Be resolved in your obedience. Don't be shifted, as Paul says. Paul says, remain grounded. Be steadfast, and do not be shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. This world's truth changes daily. I mean, I don't know if y'all understand that. If you just read the news, everybody's offended over something new nowadays because truth has changed in this world. What was true yesterday may not be true today. But here's what we have. We have a God that has not wavered on what he says. We serve a God that has not wavered on what he believes. We serve a God that has not wavered in his holiness because he is God. He will remain the same forever and always. And we can trust in that. We can plant our feet in that because he's not shifting, so therefore I won't shift. If we place our feet on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we will not be shifted because that's the firm foundation. As Jesus would tell us in the parable of the man that built his house on the sand versus the man that built his house on the rocks. When you build your house on the rocks, you build your house on a firm foundation. Or if you build your faith on a firm foundation in Jesus Christ, you won't be shifted. Yes, the storms will come, but the storm won't consume you. The storm won't destroy you. The storm won't end you because our hope is in Jesus and our firm foundation is built in him. We serve a God that went to the cross, bore all the sins of mankind, and never wavered. Never wavered. He was resolved, and so we should be resolved as well. Be steadfast. Those idols that you have in your life, they don't lose their grip on you. Those idols don't want to give up control. Those idols want to wear you out, wear you down, but they will never give up. So you've got to remain steadfast. Don't give up. Keep fighting. Keep leaning on Jesus. Let him be your strength. Let him be your courage. Let him be the one that guides you through the storm. Remain steadfast in him and don't waver. Be resolved in your obedience to God. That's what I love about the story of Daniel. We see time and time again in the story of Daniel, he didn't waver. When his life was on the line, he never wavered. He was thrown in the lion's den. Did he get in the lion's den and say, you know what, God, I'm good. I don't want to serve you no more. This is too much. My life's on the line every day. I'm good. No. Daniel said, I will serve God and I will die trying. But man, God used Daniel in a pagan place. He was a light for the gospel. And his impact on people was seen for generations. Be resolved. Just like God shut the mouths of lions, so will he destroy those things in you that are controlling you. If God has the power to shut the mouth of a lion, imagine what he can do with those idols in your life. Man, you won't even know they're there because Jesus has filled the place with those idols, and that all you want is Jesus. Be resolved in the mission. It's simple. Share the gospel. Share the gospel. Don't come to church just to hear the gospel. It's in your Bible. Read the gospel. Learn the gospel. Learn about who Jesus was. He wasn't just a man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was the Son of God in the human flesh. Share his good news. Robbie Gallaty, a pastor in Tennessee, said the gospel came to you because it was going to someone else. Man, the gospel is continuing to move forward. And imagine if we start sharing it, how God will use you, how God will use this church, how God would use you, students. You know, Daniel wasn't much older than most of y'all. He was a young man in a pagan place, but God used him. He shut the mouths of lions. And then we learn about Daniel's friends. Who was Daniel's friends? Anybody know? Three guys. Come on, students. The adults know who it is. I need to hear from y'all. What? Shadrach? Meshach? Abednego. There you go. All right. Hey, we got it right. Good job, parents. Y'all did a great job. But we learn about his three friends who were resolved in their faith. They didn't bow down to the golden idol. They didn't pray to the idol that the king of Babylon had put up. They didn't care if they died. And I love what it says. He goes, hey, one of the three goes, hey, guess what? If we die, that's fine. That's fine. But we will not bow down to your idol. Could you imagine some of y'all in here saying, you know what? Those idols, those struggles, you know what? It may consume me, but I will not bow down to it. Imagine you had that much resolve in your heart, in your spirit, because you believe so much in the gospel. You believe so much in what Jesus did that there's no other way. There's no other way. There's no better way. There's the only way, and that's Jesus. That's where life is. It's not found in anything else. It's found in Jesus. Paul will become a servant to the mission of sharing the gospel. Paul will become a servant who would write over half of the New Testament. He was the first missionary to travel the known world to share in the gospel. Paul was resolved in his spirit to follow Jesus because the gospel had transformed him. And if we see at the end, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant to it. You know, the gospel is a true burden for lost. It's a burden on us as believers. The gospel must be a burden on us to go and share that gospel. We must be broken by it. We see people in death, in darkness, and we have that light in us. Does it not break your heart? Does it not make you go to bed praying for those people that don't know Jesus? And maybe you're not feeling that, but here's what I would say. Start praying for it. You know, Brandon Heath wrote a song years ago, you know, give me the eyes to see how you see people. Start praying those prayers. Start praying, hey, God, I want to see broken people the way you see them. And let me tell you what God will do. That burden for the gospel will become even more. Because you know that that's the only freedom they'll find. They won't find it in a bottle. They won't find it in an empty carton of cigarettes. They won't find it in relationships. You won't find it in TikTok. You won't find it in Instagram. You won't find freedom in winning state championships. You won't find freedom in winning a ball game. You'll find freedom in Jesus Christ alone. Freedom from this world, freedom from the idols, freedom from discouragement, freedom from shame, freedom from sin. We are so deeply involved sometimes in sin that sometimes we can't see our way out. But we serve a God who's going to meet us down in the mess and pull us out of the mire. That's the God we serve. And that's the God that wants to be worshiped. Tim Keller says this: the reason that marriage is so painful yet wonderful is because it is a reflection of the gospel, which is painful and wonderful at once. The gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared to believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Man, that's good. Maybe some of y'all here have trouble feeling accepted in your circles. If you're looking to be accepted by man, you will be left disappointed every time. But you are accepted in Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will never leave you abandoned. But people will. But we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ. Are you resolved in your faith? Are you 100% sure that God has saved you? Here's what I asked last night, students. I want to ask you adults. Are you willing to risk eternity on that statement? You know what? I am saved. You willing to risk it? Do you know? I had a preacher growing up, and it's just stuck with me. Do you know that you know that you know that you know you're saved? It's not I think I'm saved. Do you know? Do you not know? Eternity rides on that answer. Like I said, you will either experience the grace of God or you will experience the wrath of God. Which one? Are you sure? Students, you was asked this morning, and you was asked this weekend, do you have an idol? And I want to ask you, are you resolved to lay it down? Some of y'all wrote your idols down, and you may not, you know, be really resolved to get rid of that idol. I'll be praying that you will. But here's what I want to ask you, students. That idol in your life, if you are resolved to lay it down and not turn back to it, but turn to Jesus, then I would ask during the invitation, come and lay this idol down at the altar. Turn your back and walk away from it, giving it up forever. Who would be bold enough to do that today? Church, do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? If you're not, I would ask you to have a conversation with one of our elders or me or a friend. Have a conversation. You know what? I don't know. You know, I was 8 years old and went to a revival and, you know, some things changed in my life, but I don't really know if I ever made Jesus the Lord of my life. It's okay. You need to know that you know that you know. Talk to somebody. Make that firm decision. Have it resolved in your heart that you know Jesus. Church, maybe today that you are not walking with God. You thought you were, but man, things have changed, circumstances happened, and it has blurred your vision of God, and you have walked away from Him. Today, lay it down. Whatever addiction, whatever sin, whatever you're going through, lay it down at this altar, turn away, and walk away from it forever. Lean into God. Lean on His firm foundation. Lean in His strength. Because He's the only one that can resolve it in you. He's the only one that can give you the power to overcome. It's Him and Him alone. Don't let the shame wear you down. Don't let the shame consume you. Don't let the sin lie to you and say, you're never going to be good enough. Guess what? We don't have to be because we have Jesus. Jesus does it all. Jesus provides it all, and that's who I want to get it from. I don't want to get it from my abilities because it's from God. I want to resolve in my heart to follow God to the best of my ability every single day of my life. So where are you today? Where are you at? We're going to do a song of invitation. Do not walk out of this room the same way you walked in. Resolve it in your hearts today to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. Those idols provide you nothing. Only God provides you life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you. God, you know the idols in our hearts. God, you know what we're struggling with. God, you know what we bow down to every day. We listen to the idols. We believe what the idols say. But God, you provided a better way. God, you provided us life. You provided us grace. God, you redeemed us out of sin. And God, you reconciled us to the Father. Thank you, God, for your grace. God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for showing us what true love looks like. It never changes. That true love is selfless. So God, thank you for being selfless and loving us despite of us turning our backs on you. Thank you, God, for all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen. Students, if you have that idol that you want to lay down, adults, if you have an idol, I just want to challenge you. Come down to this altar. Lay it down. Pray. Have a friend come with you and pray. But don't walk out of this building the same way you walked in.